Well, speaking of changing games, I believe we are joined by Justin Bahunga. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am, sir.
Well, Justin, it's very nice of you to take the time. You are with the United Democratic Forces, the FDU.
Correct, yes.
FDU-Nkingi, if people want to find that. It's FDU-Rwanda.com. Now, we want to talk to you today because the African Court of Human and People's Rights heard the case of political prisoner Victoire Ingabire Umahoza, and they came down with a rather important decision. I want you to tell us about the decision, but first of all, I want to ask you, could you remind us who Victoire Ingabire is and how she happens to be a political prisoner?
Thank you very much, Phil. I thank you again for accepting me to come and talk about this important decision by an African court. I'd like to say who I am also.
Please do.
And because my name, as you said, is Justin Bahunga, and I'm a commissioner for external relations and a spokesperson of FDU-Nkingi, and Victoire Ingabire Umahoza is our president. I'm so proud to be part of her party and hold this position. And as what I was saying, I think it is very important that we say who she is true. And because you cannot actually speak about the ruling, we're talking about her. And this lady, whom I luckily had came to know, is a very extraordinary person. She's a politician with a vision, which I actually follow, of building a reconciled and a peaceful nation at peace with itself and at peace with the neighbors. Because of the past present, you know, Rwanda has become a destabilizing force in the Great Lakes region. And this lady, and that's why then I followed her, is she has all it takes to be a real great leader. She has this rare mix of the qualities which I think and I admire, which include moral integrity, strong willpower, extraordinary courage, and selflessness. And also a great strategist. And it's very so interesting that, for instance, while many people, including myself, were either running away to greener pastures or running away from persecution, this lady decided to leave a very good job in Europe, she was in Holland, leave a lovely family, and then say, let me go and bring about a change in Rwanda. Because he felt there was a change, saying, if I want change, I must be an agent of that change. So it's felt all extraordinary. And indeed, when she went down, she actually fell into the hands of the dictatorial regime. Which actually, as you said, actually what is happening now is that it immediately saw these qualities as a threat to the man in power. And the decision was to take her to prison to stop her from talking. Probably later I could actually say why they came with this decision, which is very clear, that the president immediately she arrived. They started harassing her and made certain statements, which was very clear, that she would end up in prison. And that's on the basis of that, I think, that's why this ruling has taken place. And I could also quote some of the quotations before we move further, of the president himself, President Kagame, that on the 23rd of May 2010, because she arrived on the 15th of January 2010, and I was talking to a newspaper, which you might know, The Monitor in Uganda, on the 23rd of May. And she said, this woman will certainly be where she belongs. And you know, in African terms, in dictatorships, it means a prison. Mm. And he adds, now with the outsiders who want so badly Ingabire to be an opposition leader have soon or later to be our president, well, they wait for a while. And this was echoed by the Minister of Foreign Affairs, who is a lady, by the way. Yeah, and talking to a reporter of this African Standard newspaper, and they're saying, this is a place where they say women are so empowered, and said, there's no place for people like Ingabire in Rwanda. Mm-hmm. Not now, not in many years to come. And when you see, she was sentenced to 15 years, but she was, he, the president, and this lady, was probably meaning this imprisonment, and it followed. And as you know, she's been charged with three key charges, threatening state security by forming an armed group, minimizing genocide, and spreading rumors intended to incite the population to revolt.
If she wanted, so that inciting them to revolt would be to say, vote for me. That would be an incitement to revolution.
Actually, main is actually, if you ever said that the government policy is wrong, it means actually you are inciting the people to hate the government and therefore threatening the state. And there are laws, actually. If you read the penal code, you'll find that there is an article, the infamous 463, which is one of the articles that were taken to African court about spreading rumors. And everybody, every critic of the government who'd been in prison, Ingabire, there is also Saidat, who was a journalist, and even there are seven women who were arrested. They were going to the president's residence with the letter in which they were saying that if the government continues the way it is, then there could be more bloodshed in Rwanda than before. Mm-hmm. So they were hard saying. So that was, again, that was interpreted as inciting the population against the government. So an opposition, there can't be an opposition, because what would you do if an opposition and you cannot criticize the government or a policy?
That it is a challenging problem. But it seems, by the way, it's a challenging problem for all those Western governments who support this government. We're always told here that they now have a parliamentary democracy. Half the parliament is women. Therefore, it's just the best of all possible worlds, I suppose. But the reality is that not only she, but also the Diana Wigara, another woman. By the way, this is, I mean, it's a very interesting fact that one is, if we speak of the ethnicity of Rwanda, one is Hutu, one is Tutsi. Each is in prison for saying that the president is a tyrant.
Not even that, even trying to challenge him to become a
asking competitor. If they can call him one.
you want to contest and say, I want to become president also, you are in trouble.
Yes.
And that's why this question of saying I was 64% in parliamentary women, but for us the issue is not the number. The issue is how can we influence the policy. Mm-hmm. And we challenge anyone to tell us what kind of policy, which is pro-women, is that being promoted by these ladies in the parliament. Mm-hmm. So they are selected, or according to allegiance, the president. So if there is anything to pass, then they just rubber stamp it. That's it.
Yes.
And that's why I was rightly saying, this young lady, 35-year-old, doesn't have any political party. Mm-hmm. And the president is so threatened that she wants to stand.
Yes.
And again, there's another young lady who's in prison also. We don't actually, the unsung hero. But she's just one ordinary young lady called Leonika Sengaire. She's been in prison for the last for four times. She's now in prison for the fourth time. Mm-hmm. Another young lady, because she was carrying food to Ingabire in the prison. And we're trying to convince her not to take the food anymore, and also to leave the party. As simple as that.
Hmm. And so she was arrested basically for humanitarian concern for a prisoner.
Yes, and because prisoner is for a political party which they don't want, therefore that's a crime.
Yes. Oh, this is really quite remarkable. So she was convicted by the Rwandan court, not surprising. And now there's been an appeal to this court, which, by the way, I really hope people will start to learn about. This is the African Court of Human and People's Rights. It is based in Arusha, Tanzania, and it is a court that was put together by the African states themselves.
Absolutely.
And so tell us about that court and what was their opinion? Because this decision just came down only days ago.
Exactly. Actually, it is very, very important to make a point that actually this court was decided by the African heads of state and the government, and it follows on also the African Charter on Human Rights. Mm-hmm. Is one of the emanation of that. And it is quite important because it has ruled, actually, following the complaint of Mrs. Ingabire after being failed by the Rwandan system.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rwandan government actually tried to get out of it because they knew they want to lose. But they forgot it actually have to be a notice with the one year before. So the ruling that actually the appeal was that she was denied her rights. She didn't have proper defense. And then also, they didn't have the minimum standard of legal defense. And in the ruling, actually, it was accepted that this has happened. And why it is important is that had this already, Amnesty International had itself at the end of the trial said the following. I said the case of opposition party Ingabire is the culmination of a flawed trial that included politically motivated charges. Human Rights Watch on its part had said the trial. The trial as unfair because of charges were political, the evidence was unreliable, and Ingabire was denied the presumption of innocence and the judiciary was biased. Mm-hmm. And also the EU Parliament had also passed a resolution with the situation in Rwanda, the case of Ingabire, but at the same time said after this, she was a political prisoner. So this, that it is done by an African court is very important. And especially that the government of Rwanda, whenever it is done by someone outside, they say these are Europeans, they don't understand our situation.
Uh-huh.
That take into context. So that's why it becomes really, really important. That is done by an African court, which will set up the African heads of state.
Yes. Now,
that makes it very important, yes.
Very important. And you're quite right. I mean, I know that President Kagame has always used the very device you mentioned, which is to say, well, those are foreigners, those are Europeans, they have no business. But this is an African court. And it, my understanding is that it will be the states of the African Union who are to receive this judgment and urge that it be implemented by Rwanda. And if I'm right, I think there's some irony here because isn't Paul Kagame destined to become the leader of the African Union in 2018? In other words, he would be told by his own court to enforce this on his own
Absolutely.
Court?
Absolutely. That's quite important because Rwanda always
cross your
has
fingers
been
on that one.
The whole point is that Rwanda has been lying on external image. It doesn't really care about the population, the external image. And this image actually being eroded. And I was going to say that Ingabire, when she was living for Rwanda, one friend, European friend, said, "You young lady, how will you be able to go to pass through the fortress of Kagame?" And she said, "You know, even if I can remove one brick in the wall, I would have made my contribution."
Wow.
I think this is really a big brick which has been from the wall in terms of one has built a kind of a big machinery, especially very well paid public relations offices in Europe. And I could cite some. There is one called this point, which was being paid $50,000 a month for 2 years. And there was another one, which was recently, which was is formed by the former director of communication, Tony Blair, whom they were paid, it was in the papers, £1 million to brand the image of Rwanda after the mapping report has come out. So coming back to the point, is Rwanda is definitely a big problem in terms of image.
Yeah, they're angels. Their angels, like Mr. Blair, Mr. Clinton, are going to have to work overtime to explain this situation. We're speaking to Justin Bahunga. He is a spokesperson for the United Democratic Forces, FDU-Nkingi, FDU-Rwanda.com. I urge you to go to that site. But now, is it true that Rwanda, since it's beginning to have problems in this African court, is no longer participating? And if that's true, how does he get to be allowed to be president of the African Union if his country is not going to respect this court?
That's what we are looking forward to that, because the as I said,
yeah,
what's very funny is that after they had demanded to leave the African court, they managed in July last year, because they had the summit held in Rwanda, to get one of the judges who was in the panel that condemned Victoire to 15 years to be part of the court.
So she was, going to be part, or is part of the, would have been sitting on the panel that heard the case.
Exactly.
The judge who convicted.
Exactly.
But why didn't that all work out for Kagame? That was a pretty, I'd call that a fairly sinister plan. Why didn't that work?
It did not work. Actually, that's why I think, again, when I look at this court, I would like to say, and I would say we thank them, is a good image for Africa. If you remember, the International Tribunal for Rwanda in Arusha, and I think it's very symbolic that what happened to Arbour, Ruiz, what happened to Karel Del Ponte, they had to bend the wishes of Kagame.
Yes.
That an African court can stand, I'm sorry, there must have been a lot of pressure, the maneuvering. So it's a good image, it's a pride for Africa, and I feel proud of that court. An African court can do that, what the international court has not been able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, I think symbolic in the sense also that where the international court failed to give justice to Rwandans, and that's what Ingabire was saying, equal justice, then it's also a pride that an African court can do better and defend the helpless, the vulnerable, whereas actually the international court was for the mighty. This one is defending the vulnerable and being actually more fairer than this one where they have spent millions of money.
Yeah.
And this is...
Go ahead.
And what is important, this court has actually endorsed the statement that Ingabire made in Rwanda when she arrived, and which was used as the crime of minimizing genocide. Mm-hmm. And this is, she had said, which is that actually to demand right to justice for all victims is not to deny or minimize genocide or an insistence on justice or equating war crimes to view the genocide. Mm-hmm. It simply means that all victims, regardless of their affiliation, regardless of the nature of the crime committed against them, and regardless of the affiliation of the perpetrator, must have equal opportunity to seek redress for the wrongs done to them. And that's, in paraphrasing, that whole saying that Hutus who have committed genocide, they must accept to be punished. But all the Tutsis who killed must be made accountable. Mm-hmm. And by this ruling, is actually agreeing that indeed what is said is nothing about minimizing genocide or denying genocide, which are used against her. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's quite important, and quite important also for other political parties, mm-hmm. and for the government, as you might have known, we try to impose how we interpret Rwandan history, mm-hmm. what the truth about Rwanda.
Yeah. No, the court is... You're quite right. This is quite a moment in African history. Can I ask you, this again, it's Justin Bahunga, and he is a spokesperson for the United Democratic Forces, FDU-Nkingi. Is the Victoire, whose name translates victory, is victory aware of the decision? Has she, because she's in a rather difficult spot. Tell us about her prison conditions and also of her... Diana Wigar. They're both kind of in difficult positions. But has she been informed, would you know?
I think what's important we have to talk about, I think probably the most timely to say that. One, now the conditions in Gabili, they are bad. You know, for the first 5 years, she was kept in isolation in a room where windows had been blackened to prevent the natural light to come into the room.
Yes.
And at one point, they would punish her by taking all her books. From there, they took her into a common hall with the other ladies. But have learned recently, they have now taken all her reading material, and she's not even allowed to talk to other prisoners.
Hmm.
And for Guigara, for Diane, also, as you know...
Those are inhumane conditions by definition.
Exactly. They were kept, you were saying, 24 hours handcuffed. Hmm. To be taken in the morning, and they were brought back around 2 o'clock in the morning to their house. Now they're in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And for the simple reason that this young lady also criticized the policies of the government. Mm-hmm. And, of course, for trying to stand against the president. But again, one thing I think which is important here is how the system is eating itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the beginning, when they're arresting, remember the 2000, when after the takeover, when the first people like Vlad Kwagiramongo and others were being dismissed, people were saying, oh, these guys, why did they ever even join the RPF? Mm-hmm. What followed? There followed some of their members of the RPF who were running away, some were assassination attempts.
And being murdered.
Were saying, yeah, and being murdered, exactly. They said, oh, after all, they have got things to worry about. They were in fighting.
Mm-hmm.
But now, what is happening is now the president or the regime are saying that they came to stop the genocide and they are actually the protectors of the survivors of genocide of Tutsi.
Mm-hmm.
So what's important is that this Diane, her father did a lot to support the RPF. She's a survivor. She's a Tutsi. She's a survivor of genocide, and see how she's suffering. So the issue is, it's no longer issue of ethnicity. Is anyone with the thought resetting the power is actually indiscriminately, they're either arrested or put in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that we have to see now.
And both these women offer a democratic solution which the country would like to have.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what they are asking. Nomar is saying, if you are getting 99% of the vote, why would you fear even if a lady, 35-year-old like Diane, that's setting your power, which means to us, there is no real support. It is only, the support is only maintained by depression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And indeed, I think there was a report by, the International Center for Strategic and Security Studies, which actually were saying, which is true, that this government, this regime has demonstrated it cannot manage the divergent societal demand and political competition without using violence and coercion. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, a blow has been struck against that system by this African court. Justin Bahunga, we're very grateful. We're glad to hear of this victory for Victoire. We thank you.
Thank you so much. Her victory will be our salvation. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Salvation for Rwanda.
Yes.
Thank you.
Salvation for Rwanda. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And the organization is FDU-Rwanda, FDU-Rwanda.com. And you're listening to the Taylor Report, and I would say editorially, we told you so. I mean, it's been a long time coming, but you know, he made a very important point, Justin Bahunga, in that this is an African court established by the African Union. States joined it. They wrote up there. They all sat and agreed on how to do it. It has a nice title, I like it. The African Court of Human and People's Rights. It's a good court. Incidentally, you can go online. You can find them, and you can actually see them delivering the decision. It took 52 minutes. And if you're a real scholar and interested in law and you care about justice in Africa, do tune in. But they confirmed that her rights had been denied her. And we are heading for an interesting time, for an unfolding of an interesting situation, because Paul Kagame is due to become the head of the African Union in 2018. And that African Union's court, the court associated with them, has delivered a decision saying he is not permitting Victory Ingabire her rights to speak and to contest in an election against him. And as Bahunga points out, Mr. Bahunga, he won 99%, and he's afraid of this woman, and he's afraid of the second woman, who Diana Wigara is, as he points out, this is a very young woman, no party, politically inexperienced, but a very intelligent person, well-spoken. And she's in prison now with her mother. I have to remind our listeners, please get involved with this and please help out. Because one thing that irritates me beyond others is that Victoire Ingabire has her head shaved. They're made to wear, of course, a pink costume. But shaving heads is a big delight that this government exercises. And it's obviously a way to humiliate her. Isolating her from other prisoners is a way. Denying her natural light. This is, by all the standards, is wrong, wrong, wrong. And we say this in all conscience because the Canadian government hasn't put Rwanda on the list of people to be now sanctioned under the Great Act, the Human Rights Act, that the Liberals and the NDP and the Greens and the Conservatives had the love-in about. They want to do that against Russians and somebody from South Sudan, I guess the cousin of Billy Graham. And maybe somebody, what was the other country? But at any rate, but they don't want to do it to Rwanda.
Venezuela,
which has opposition parties, yeah. has elections, but you don't fool the Canadian government. They know a good government when they see one, like Saudi Arabia. Nobody's saying that is a humdinger of a monarchy, and it is bombing the blazes out of Yemen and is welcome to do so, according to the Canadian government. As a matter of fact, we will sell them the weapons to do it. We will not sanction them.